So we're going to be talking today about the Federal Interagency Partnership for Sustainable Communities. This is a partnership that was created in 2009 by President Obama, and it's an interagency collaboration between HUD, the Department of Transportation, and EPA. We came up, upon creation, came up with six livability principles that we're using to guide us. And the purpose is to remove traditional federal government silos, target the agency's transportation, land use, housing, and community development resources, and help communities build more livable, sustainable communities. So a couple of the goals that we have surrounding the partnership are to challenge our agencies to work together and coordinate our policies, programs, and resources to encourage and fully assist rural, suburban, and urban areas to build sustainable communities and make sustainable communities the leading style of development in the United States. And to work together to identify opportunities to build more sustainable communities and to remove policy barriers and other barriers that have kept Americans from doing so. Now, the six livability principles that I mentioned, I'll go through those. The first one is to provide more transportation choices and develop safe, reliable, and economic transportation choices to decrease household transportation costs, as we know those have been on the rise, reduce our nation's dependence on foreign oil, improve air quality, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and promote public health. The second principle is to promote equitable and affordable housing and expand location and energy-efficient housing choices for people of all ages, incomes, races, and ethnicities to increase mobility and lower the combined costs of housing and transportation. The third principle is to enhance economic competitiveness, and in doing this, we hope to improve economic competitiveness through reliable and timely access to employment centers, educational opportunities, services, and other basic needs by workers, as well as expanded business into access to markets. The fourth is to support existing communities, and we're trying to target federal funding towards existing communities through such strategies as transit-oriented and mixed-use development and land recycling to increase community revitalization, improving the efficiency of public works investments, and safeguarding rural landscapes. The fifth is to coordinate policies and leverage investment. And in order to do this, we're trying to align federal policies and funding to remove barriers to collaboration, leverage funding, and increase the accountability and effectiveness of all levels of government to plan for future growth, including making smart energy choices such as locally generated renewable energy. And the sixth and final is to value communities and neighborhoods. And in saying this, we hope to enhance the unique characteristics of all communities by investing in healthy, safe, and walkable neighborhoods, rural, urban, and suburban, and tribal. So within HUD, upon the president's creation of this partnership, HUD created the office, what we're calling the Office of Sustainable Housing and Communities, and it was building on this partnership, and the hope of the office is to help communities build healthier, more livable, and environmentally sustainable communities and regions by connecting people, places, and opportunities, by encouraging communities to build housing near jobs, and affordable accessible transportation. And the initiative will nurture healthier, more inclusive communities that provide opportunities for people, again, of all ages, incomes, and ethnicities to live, work, and play together while improving the quality of life by saving money and time for families. And building a clean energy economy, and through this new approach to sustainable regional and community development, HUD is encouraging the development of a clean energy economy by creating new green jobs and spurring economic growth and building regions better able to compete in a global economy. Our office is administering, and I'll talk about the regional planning grant and the Challenge and Tiger II grants a little more in a minute, but our office is administering the those two grants with support from DOT and EPA as well. And we're also the center point within HUD to work with across the various HUD offices to make sure that this initiative and these focuses are being infused into everything that HUD does across the board. So as far as the national progress of this partnership, a few things that are that have happened. We have a multi-agency work plan in progress that is trying to encompass all of these goals and principles into everything that we're doing. So that's something that we've been working on. We've been really good at identifying barriers, legislative policy and planning. The harder part is to come up with ways to overcome the barriers, but we're working on that as well. Redefining housing affordability, how to measure sustainability and livability, which is also something that we're still working on, and that's got its own challenges as well. Coordination of both grant processes and planning processes, and that's the Tiger II and Challenge grant was a combination grant that came out from HUD and Department of Transportation, and I believe it's the first time that we'd ever written a NOFA together and gotten out a notice of funding availability across the agencies. So we were really happy with that. And those were just announced a couple weeks ago. And then at the administration level, we've had our secretaries have gone out and done tours, listening sessions, and had meetings surrounding this area. And there's also some legislation pending that is the Livable Communities Act of 2010, which will basically solidify the Office of Sustainable Housing and Communities within HUD and the grants that we're managing. Ed Perlmutter from Colorado is one, and I'm not sure who the other is. Okay, Don, yeah. Thanks. So coming into the partnership, the first, looking at existing funding and trying to leverage that funding, we looked at the what funding was currently out there. So Recovery Act, there were a lot of monies out on the street for Recovery Act already. So leveraging that, modifying existing programs so that they can be used towards these purposes, and also state and local funds. And then the new funding that I've mentioned is the HUD Regional Planning Grant, which just was announced. The awardees were just announced a couple weeks ago. That's for nearly $100 million. And were awarded to 45 regional areas across the country. And we had a lot of interest. We had applicants from every state. It was really overwhelming, the response that we got to this notice of funding. A lot of interest in it. So we're looking forward to seeing what that planning grant is gonna, what our grantees are gonna come up with in the next few years with that money. And then the combo grant was a HUD Challenge grant and the Department of Transportation Tiger II grant, and that's more for actual projects that are gonna be done. So that was combined $68 million and awarded to 62 local and regional partnerships. So a couple changes that have happened as a result to the partnership. Department of Transportation programs and funding have become more flexible to support multimodal transportation, including light rail, train, and bus. EPA programs and funding have been focused on community support and implementation, and some of the programs there are listed. And then HUD policy changes have allowed for more flexibility to build on brownfields and allow for multi-use development. Now, as far as just a little bit about our Region 8 regional process, because that's what I've been involved in, the things that we've been focusing on are basically getting to know each other's agencies, so reviewing each other's funding proposals. We've had some HUD people reviewing Department of Transportation applications, and a lot of EPA and DOT folks helped us review the regional planning grants. Knowing each other's planning processes, and together providing outreach to state and local communities. We also have some pilot programs that we're working on to support surrounding the partnership. Our urban and suburban focused pilot project is the South Lincoln redevelopment, which is about a mile that way. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, but it's a redevelopment of public housing into a multi-use, multi-income development, and it's really exciting. We have a tribal pilot project. We're going to focus energy on the Spirit Lake Tribe in North Dakota. They have had a FEMA declaration in the last couple months, and so there's a lot of interagency focus on helping them through. They have a rising lake. It's called Devil's Lake. It's something that's going to continue to happen, so it's a problem that won't go away. So we're working with them to try and figure out how to either move or better set them up to sustain through this this flooding. Oops. And then our rural focus is Garfield County, which is on the western side of the state of Colorado. And some EPA money has gone into some planning there for sustainable efforts. So our regional focus, some of the things that we as a region in our planning efforts have decided to really focus on are special attention to vulnerable populations, children, elderly, low income, and minority, making sure that they're included in any planning that goes on. Working towards establishing a self-sustaining approach so that cities and regions look at planning from the perspective of sustainability and don't have to rely on government funding necessarily to forward those efforts. And infusing sustainability into everything that we do so that it's a consideration in everything and not just an add-on. So it's something that's, you know, in your normal train of thought. So talking a little bit about the pilot project here in Denver, it's the La Alma Lincoln Park neighborhood. That, like I said, it's just south of here. It's this, the red outlined area is the area that's going to be redeveloped. The orange line just to the left of it is the light rail line. So it's right on a light rail stop, which is fabulous. It's currently 271 units of public housing, and it's going to be a phased approach of rebuilding. So over, I think it's the next 7 to 10 years, they're going to be going through and systematically taking out and replacing the public housing with new units, townhomes, apartment style, and condos. It's going to be mixed use. They'll have public housing, low income, moderate income, and then also market rate. The first phase has just broken ground in September, and it's an elderly facility of 100 units and using a $10 million grant from HUD that was Recovery Act funds. So we're really excited about that. This is the master plan. So as you can see, the top in the middle, that's where the light rail station is. Where the letter A is, that's the new elderly facility that's just broken ground. And the letters are the phases of how they're going to be rebuilt. In the middle of the map, you'll kind of notice a little striped area. That's a promenade that they're planning on having available to have farmers markets, art fairs, and it's really, they're really hoping to keep the community that's there and invigorate it, really make it a healthy environment. They're going to have a community garden. It backs up to an art district, so they're really hoping to infuse it with a lot of the aspects of that art feel. So in their planning, they really wanted to make sure, like I said, they really wanted to keep the existing community intact. Oh, and I didn't mention this is being done by the Denver Housing Authority in conjunction with a lot of other groups, but they're really the ones spearheading it. So they started with a health impact assessment and started with, I think, over 100 community meetings interviewing the residents to make sure that they were covering all of the things that the residents were concerned with and incorporating that into their plan. Denver Health is a local hospital that is within a mile. So they've incorporated Denver Health in their planning. They did a PEQI, a pedestrian environment quality index, and a food audit. So they came up with some health issues that were identified, and they made recommendations in the planning in order to enhance social and mental well-being, the natural environment, the built environment, transportation, access, and safety. They have looked at, they're on the light rail line, but they're also making sure that they're increasing the bus availability, that walking and biking are very accessible, and it's really going to be a neat project. So the photos on the right, the one at the top is the current housing development. So it's all townhomes. In the middle, that's a picture of the light rail, and you'll see a little piece of art. So they're really hoping to kind of keep that going. And the bottom picture is a sketch of the new 100-unit elderly facility that's currently being built. And you'll notice in the middle, the kind of colorful area, they're using a local artist to do that mural. And it actually goes all the way through the building. So really incorporating that art focus. So just a little bit about some HUD programs and services for the elderly, kind of switching topics a little bit. We've had for a long time what's called the Section 202 program, which is supportive housing for the elderly, and it provides capital advances and project-based rental assistance for housing projects serving elderly households. So that's a project that we've had for a long time and hope that will continue. We also have a service coordinator grant that provides low-income, frail, elderly, and residents with disabilities in federally supported housing with assistance to identify and receive health care, meals, and other critical support services. And then our Section 8 program is not solely focused on the elderly, but it does provide decent and safe rental housing for eligible low-income families, the elderly, and persons with disabilities. And then in conjunction with that, a lot of housing authorities also provide elderly support. So as far as the partnership goes, where do we go from here? We've been around for, like I said, since June of 2009, so it's been almost a year and a half, and I think we've done a good job of kind of figuring out how each other works and what the barriers are. So like I said, it's easy to figure out the barriers, it's hard to figure out how to overcome them. So I think that's one of the biggest things that we're going to be looking at doing, is figuring out how to overcome the barriers that we've discovered. We're going to continue to support the recently announced grant funding, and all of the agencies have really committed to working together to make sure that the funds are used in a smart and effective way. So it's going to be great to see how that all works out. Continue to collaborate around pilot projects like the one I spoke about, and use them as models for best practices so that it can be used in other communities and regions. Like I said, the barriers, just continuing to come up with ways to overcome them. And then also engaging communities to embrace the principles as they plan for their future. And like I said before, really using the principles and sustainability as a base of how they start to think about planning and really incorporating it. And that's all that I have. Should we do questions?
Well, let's take one brief question.
We are gaining. We're going from 271 to between 800 to 900. Yeah.